Hello, and welcome to another podcast from La Civiltà Cattolica English Edition.
Welcome to the podcasts for people who are contributors to La Civiltà Cattolica. Today, we are talking to Father Joseph Zhang, who comes from China, but is currently living in Boston, where he's a teacher at Boston College. And in recent times, he's done some research work and published in La Civiltà Cattolica on some very significant people that reveal to us the contours and the shape of Chinese engagement with Christianity. Perhaps the most outstanding instance of that is his characterization and report on Father Ma, a Jesuit. He left the Jesuits, but he had been the Jesuits University in Shanghai called Aurora. And when he left the Jesuits, he went and founded Fudan University, which is one of the three most significant universities in China. So we're going to talk to Joseph about what Ma and others have done, what their interaction with Christianity has brought to China, and how they would characterize the shape of their engagement as Chinese with Christianity and Catholicism. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you. You've written a lot, but it's mostly in Chinese, isn't it?
I write both English and Chinese, yeah.
But more in Chinese than English?
Yeah, more in Chinese and English now, right.
So tell us about what hasn't been published in English. What sort of topics and themes and issues have you addressed in the other work?
My books mostly focus on the higher education, more focus on the liberal arts education. So about the whole person education, global engagement, students development, and some spiritual integration. So this is some part of my writings, yeah.
Okay. And what do you think integrates all that work? What is it that your central message and core information, what are they?
You know, I think first and foremost for the Jesuit education or even education for everyone, it's not about education to teach you a skill or give you a degree or diploma, but really to form a whole person. In that way, you know, we can combine the science, technology, and humanities, and more about the personal formation, you know, how to become the whole person to help other people, be a global citizen to serve people with love, with charity, with generosity, with the compassion, and with justice. I think this kind of integration of education and for whole person education.
Now, if you're doing that, that's, of course, you know, standard Jesuit stuff, really. That's what one would expect. But how does it go down in China? I mean, is it seen as a threat to propose those sorts of things if you do them in Chinese for Chinese?
A good question, Michael. I think in a, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, the Chinese governments or the education institutions, they also aware then to the whole press education is very important, though they're still focused on, we call the Soviet Union model, you know, specialized education to form professionals. But eventually they understand that the only professional education is not enough to form or to educate, to cultivate a global citizen for the future. So since 1995, they added some coursework called the cultural quantity education. It's part of the, we call the general education or the liberal education in the West, but they're not put much about the spirituality or ethical education there. My work really, when I go to China, when I meet with Chinese students and parents, I try to, you know, promote this kind of idea about what kind of person you want to be, what type of the citizen you want to be in the future, and how can you make a difference in the world. How can you make a not only, you know, small difference, but a big difference in the world that can make a big impact on too many other people. And all people will make this harmonious society with love and justice, to care about their neighbors, care about people who are less advantaged or marginalized people. Because education for most people in China or even globally are running looking for something about the ELO status or honor ranking. Or sometimes we must think about, how do we make education as an instrument to make our world a better place where everyone can find a place to live joyfully, happily, with human dignity, and with equal respect. I think this is something we must put into the even Chinese education. Yeah.
How is that message received by your friends in China with whom you're communicating? How do they react to that?
Yes, very good question, Mike. I think, as I mentioned a while ago to you before interview, I'm the first, first Chinese priest or Jesuit who can, encounter with some Chinese students or parents through education. Well, in the beginning, when they come to here, they never know our education, what kind of education we provide for them. But eventually, when they learn something about the philosophy, even theology, even humanities, even natural sciences and social sciences, they found that this course is going to give people, equip you to be well-rounded, not only about the knowledge or theory, but sometimes you put in your own life practice, say, how can I make this possible? When I see somebody in trouble, how could I provide a service help for these people? So through the last few years, when I talk with students on regular basis, on Fridays, or weekends, we talk about so much about this kind of education. It's well received. There's really value. For example, my students who study philosophy and theology, when they go to a European country, visit those museums, and they found this the paintings, artwork, most related with philosophical topic, theological topic, they found, wow, that's wonderful. And we learn in the school, we learn from this philosophical and theological education. They are quite a very positive, Ronnie. I think we need time to help people to understand our teachings, education, not really only give you a degree or a diploma, but really about the whole person.
Now, you've written a number of things for La Civiltà Cattolica on some very interesting people. The first one is the founder of Fudan. And he actually left the Jesuits because mm-hmm. the French Jesuits were completely, exclusive and unresponsive to him and completely mm-hmm. insensitive to the fact that he was Chinese and different. That's a fairly constant theme throughout the history of Christianity and Chinese, that Christians have often not understood where the mm-hmm. Chinese are coming from or mm. how to engage, and really often without any particular intention, impose mm. their own culture on their mm. understanding of how Christianity is to be accepted. What's the mm. way to avoid that?
Good question, Michael. This I've been thinking about this question for quite a while, because if we talk about a mission ministry with this group of people in China or in Asia, I think the term material is used very often in culturation. I think both East and West must sit down to dialogue, to communicate, to negotiate for certain topics. When you recall these histories, the Confucian teachings, Christian teachings, or Greek philosopher teachings, they also focus on something about love, about justice, about harmony, about peace. And those thoughts of 3,000 years ago, even 4,000 years ago, even today, we still use this one. Our purpose is really to build a global society where everyone feels they're part of this, big family, they're part of this, global family. Then we need to embrace differences. Because often that we stand our own views, that mine is maybe better one, mine is the best one. But then we should think about, how do people think about their own view? So for this point, I think East and West, Christianities or whatever religion or group, or even, political bodies, they must, try to understand each other from a different perspective or aspect. And then from there, we begin a dialogue. And then we understand it, we embrace it, we appreciate. I think this way, people really can value differences and also appreciate the core values in that particular context or culture, yeah.
Well, the world would be a much happier place if we did that. if you just look at the whole problem about Ukraine and Russia, and that's the one thing that Putin doesn't accept, is the valuing of difference. And and it, you can only go forward if you do accept there is difference and you value the difference. Ma is someone who fascinates me. What do you think his experience actually tells us? And has he got a message for us today?
You know, I think for his message for us, we can learn so much from his life experiences or his journey. You know, first, he's a well-known scholar in China, and he was a Jesuit. So he learned about the West, West conceptions, West ideas, and also he learned about the classical Chinese. So he combines two great traditions. And then he not only learned in theory, but also he practiced all these learnings from the East and the West perspective. And he also dialogued with local people, with local culture, without, give up his Christian tradition values there. I think his message gave us really say, how can we open to the differences? How can we really, bring something new to our own tradition where we can share with other people? Well, we keep our own tradition, we want our own tradition, but also make open eyes, open door to other traditions where there are many, many values there we can use, into our own practice. And, he's, very keen for this kind of, studies and also, communication with many, many other people. He talked with scholars, officials, he talked with the Jesuit religious group. He really opened his arm to welcome everyone. And he knew the most important key issue for being a human person is not about material things there, but also spiritual and social and academic and even psychological, ethical issues, all combined together. And that's also manifested in his writings and his speech and his talks also.
What do you think is at the heart of why there is a lack of understanding between the West and the East, between China and other people? What is at the heart of that? Is there some central issue that the rest of the world is not getting, and some central issue that China and Chinese people are not getting? Is there something that there in that?
Yes. This is a question I've been thinking for many, many times in my writings. I'm still writing something today. How can East and West to make some more peaceful, more open, more transparent dialogue? I think, Michael, there's so much misunderstanding among or between the countries, among the countries and peoples. Because, if you see the history from the, medieval age, even contemporary or modern society, I think everyone or each nation their own different views towards some other people. And sometimes we only think we are center, our values maybe is better, but sometimes we must think about when people from that particular country or group or culture, they were formed or they were shaped by particular, culture and context, they kind of easy to change. But I think eventually when we have more dialogue, more understanding, then we'll say, okay, why do they act like that way? We may be more appreciate their, current situation. Well, we still want to try to bring our own view with them and share with them. So I think those misunderstanding has been for a long time, is embedded into many people's mind and heart, socially, culturally, and politically, or even spiritually. But if we think about we love everyone, everyone's equal, we cannot only use your own standard to judge other people. And we must, in a more peaceful environment to dialogue with each other, say, okay, if something wants to change, let's change it. But sometimes the change will need more time for people to make a difference. But if we don't get rid of this misunderstanding, and then I don't think there's any true dialogue will come.
If there was one thing that you could add to this process of understanding, what would it be? Is there one particular thing that you think really would enhance the communication and enhance the understanding?
I think we must face with our history, history in the past, history right now, and history in the future. Because all the history, all the what happened in the past, we can learn from the history. You know, for example, the war, you know, we must learn from why that happened. How can we avoid it? If we don't learn from the history or those what happened in the past, if we don't reflect, if we don't examine, you know, what's wrong in the past, we will never learn new lessons because we still hold the old view. Even the feudal views there say, well, what we have done, maybe good for other people. But we must think about the modern society, you know, something we must change. We must give up some of our own view. So we learn from history, and from the history parts, and we can rebuild a new history. I think that's very important for us to know. Yeah.
What are you working on at the moment? What's your main intellectual project?
You know, my coverage is kind of very broad and wide. I, you know, cover about the higher education, student development, spirituality, and global education. So it's very wide. I try to make a different topics. You know, some I write just recently about spirituality, a book. I think my main purpose, my main goal is only for mission as a Jesuit, as a priest. I mean, all the works and writings are just instrument for our mission, you know, end and means. The purpose is only to glorify God and the church as work. So for my education, students, formation, and spirituality, retreat. So I try my best to do more work because I believe God gave us so much grace and gifts. And then I think, you know, so much we can do for God's work, for the church's work, yeah.
But is there a person you're researching at the moment, or a topic or a theme that you're concentrating on?
You know, for my writings so far, I wrote for Ma Xiangbo and Wu Jinxiong. I recently finished one Wu Yisan, another Jesuit artist. And then my next topic about one French Jesuit who were in Shanghai during the anti-Japanese war. You know, he was the one to form a global refugee camp in Shanghai.
Who was that?
Good question. You know, I should remember this Jesuit's name. You know, he's only one arm. I have here, but we can find out later anyway. Yeah,
his name wasn't Foch, was it?
Yeah, I mean, that's his name. Yeah,
Foch was a general in the French army in the first war, and he lost his arm, and then his brother was basically novice master for the Jesuits in France. I didn't know he got to China, but there you are. He got to China. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to write his life, you know, how Ronnie He uses his work as a charity work to serve many, many people, but also for global peace and for global harmony. I think this is one of our way of proceeding to help more people to feel the love, not only from God, but from the human being.
Did the European missionaries learn anything from Ma and from his leaving the Jesuits?
The Europeans, I think in his time, there's, you know, conflicts, as in cultural conflicts. I think basically also affected by the social environment, because then the kind of time, you know, we call the Western powers in China, maybe not quite welcome there. And then if the French Jesuit there, when down some say maybe the local Chinese feel uncomfortable. So I think there's also a lot of conflict between the culture and also some of the, you know, personality there. That's why Ma really left the society eventually, and then to form another university from Aurora to Fudan, you know, means, you know, make a new Aurora University. So I think if we learn from that lesson, from that history, I think there's much we can make a new change. Say, you know, because we come from a different culture, different country, different background, and now, but our purpose, our mission, only for God's work. for the work in the society. If we really want to for God's work, for evangelization, we could really give up our own personal opinions and views for the greater good, for the greater purpose. But because sometimes human beings always think about our own, you know, we have limitations there.
Now, are there questions you think I should ask you? Have you got things that you want to say and that you think I need to ask you questions about? Do you have any ones that you want to put to me? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I really want to share with you a question with you is how, you know, facing the global issue or global community, you know, shortage of the missionaries or vocation in the church, and how really we can continue our missions. I mean, for those people who are in need, I think this is my concern also. It seems that we may so much enjoy our comfortable zone or our own, you know, situation, but I think a mission and evangelization is still some very important work for the church to do. I think there are some questions we have to think about, you know, for the next decades or two or so and so forth. You know, I think these are my concern also. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what in particular in that area would you like to talk about? What would you like to see happen to bring to fruition, to bring to expression the deeper purpose of mission and evangelization? What do you think needs to happen?
Because we are in a very global society, we are so much material things. And because, you know, iPhone or cell phone, computer, everything distract people searching for the meaning and purpose of our life. And young people don't go to church, even others, you know, European countries in many church turn to the museum. And Asian country all face the same problems. Young people don't go to church. Many crises right happen. But I still think we have, you know, really reflect, re-exam, and also make a change, even radical change for the church to make a new difference, or, you know, new face for people who can trust the church and who can come to the church to share this missionary work and to share this charity work. Yeah.
How often do you go back to China?
Good question. Before the pandemic, and with my colleague in the university, we go to there twice a year, mostly meet with some parents and students. But since the pandemic happened 2 years ago, I have never been to China since then. So almost 3 years now. We are hoping in the fall this year, but I think maybe hard. Maybe next year, yeah.
Yeah. Now the pandemic has slowed everything down. Well, thank you, Joseph. And press on with what you're doing, and may I pray for God's blessing on your work, and that it may be blessed with success and with God doing infinitely more than we could ask or imagine.
Yes. Thank you, Michael. I pray for your work also, your great, great work.
Thank you. Okay.
Subscriptions to the English edition of La Civiltà Cattolica range in price from $14.95 to $200. For short-term and annual subscriptions, for individuals and for groups. For further information, go to laciviltacattolica.com, subscribe. LaCivitaCattolica.com/subscribe.